This episode of the Deep Cave Podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/deepcavepodcast. More than 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the second episode of the Geek Cave Comic Cast. I'm your host, Greg, and today I am joined by my good friend, Jason. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yep, glad to have you. And you are the person I wanted for this cast, because today's topic, in addition to what will be our usual stuff, is only our second episode, so I don't really think we have a usual yet. But the topic today is arachnophobia. We'll be talking about all sorts of spider-related things. Spider-Gwen, Spider-Verse, Spider-Man, Spider-Me, Spider-Jerusalem, you know. So, yeah, we'll get to that.
Sounds good to me.
A little bit. But first, I'll start with what we've been reading. This basically kind of the backlist, you know, not new, but other things we've been reading. So,
Sure.
Two books I do want to rave about a little bit. First one is Phonogram, specifically the second volume, The Singles Club. Are you familiar with this book at all, Jason?
I'm not. Please regale me with your tales.
So it's written by Kieran Gillen and art by Jamie McKelvey, who did a really good run on Young Avengers and right now they're doing The Wicked and the Divine, which is the same vein. It's really kind of like a pop music type thing, the way they just write it. But it's really about one night at a club, seven stories, you know, different characters from different points of view kind of at the same time. And it's one big character study about these different late teens, early 20s at this club, and their interactions, their relationships, and all that. And, you know, kind of things that go on throughout the course of the night. So
that sounds great. And Kieran Gillen, he's doing the Vader series now, right?
Yes, he is. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I am a big Gillen fan. My Facebook picture is actually me shaking his hand at C2E2 still. No, he's done a lot of great things. Like, his run on New Avengers was awesome.
Some Avengers versus X-Men stuff he did.
Right, yeah. I did Generation Hope and then Journey into Mystery. That was one of those things. He did a lot of big run on Journey into Mystery, which is really fantastic. So,
awesome.
And he's also doing Angela, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, Phonogram, The Singles Club. It's one of the books that I've reread the most times in the past couple of years, because it's just such a well-done character study. I mean, the overall plot, people are at a club, you know? But it's the interactions, the way he writes his characters, they're so different, but they're so trying to find their identity, and it's all going through this one night. And the other stories provide different perspective on other events and previous stories, and all ties together really nicely. So
that's really interesting. It just takes this very simple premise of everybody being in the same place and kind of expands upon it. That's really cool.
Right.
And the music thing totally works.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. There's, you know, the rules for the club is that you must dance and no songs with male singers. So those are the rules for the night. So, yeah.
Wow.
He kind of did a similar thing with the, or they did, him and McKelvey, the last two issues of the Young Avengers run, where it's a New Year's Eve party, six stories, same type of premise, you know, following their heroes and all that, so.
Oh, so that's kind of like, maybe that was the springboard or where the impetus of that idea came from, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, they have a very big love of pop music and pop culture, evidenced by, you know, the Wicked and all that, so.
Very, very nice.
But yeah, I mean, you can get the trade, you know, about $10-$12, but it's what's one of the books I've reread so many times. It's wonderful. So
wow, sounds right up my alley. I like it.
Yeah. So how about you? What you've been reading? So
Batman. Scott Snyder never ceases to impress me, and especially now with the whole Joker story. Oh man, it's so great. And I mean, I've never been a really big fan of Greg Capullo's art, but you can have Scott Snyder writing with stick figures and I'd still read it. So,
and he is a wonderful human being, too. He's just a really nice guy.
Is he really?
Oh, I met him at C2 a few times. Just a very, well, he's very short, but just very mellow, you know, thank you, I'm glad you like the book, you know, so. But yeah.
Yeah, so Batman, and of course I've told you many times that my absolute favorite supervillain is the Joker, and it was so satisfying. This whole storyline's been very satisfying, and you know, we're coming on the last part. Batman 39 is going to be the last part of the Endgame storyline, and we're going to get to, you know, it's awesome. I just think that it's just a character that never gets old. It just never gets old to have the Joker pop up, and even if you tear his face off, and you know, so great.
Yeah. So I haven't read Endgame yet because I kind of got a little burnt out with the 0 years. So I was going to wait for the trade. But how does Endgame compare to Death of the Family as far as Joker?
That's a good question.
Because I love Death of the Family. So.
Yeah. I mean, and Death of the Family is a pretty heavy storyline too. I think that it's comparable as far as the quality of the storyline, and I think that Endgame how do I put this without sounding biased? going back to my whole stick figure statement, I just think that I'll just eat it up, anything that Scott Snyder does. And I think that it's not as creepy, I think, as Death in the Family, because there was stuff in there that was
super creepy.
Super creepy. But so I don't think it's kind of on that level. And I think it's more – there's more of a classic Joker kind of, whereas Death of the Family was kind of really super creepy in parts. But no, it's good, and I'm looking forward to the end of it and seeing where it goes and seeing what the whole – because there is I know there's going to be some crazy twist coming up
that's what he does.
That's his thing. So
yeah totally. And I also totally concur that if Scott Snyder writes, I will read. I mean, American Vampire, which is
God, American Vampire, so good.
It's so good.
So good.
I think I called you the day after I picked up the book on a whim. The first one, like, dude, this is amazing.
Yeah, I know. And I immediately was like, well, I got to buy this now.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
All right. So new releases then. So there's a few ones I do want to talk about. Angela. For those of you who aren't aware, Angela was a Spawn character written by Neil Gaiman that was brought into the Marvel Universe with the Avengers.
I don't think a lot of people realize that was a Neil Gaiman creation.
Right.
You know?
Which that was my initial interest. Like, hey, I like Neil Gaiman a lot, so let's see who this character is. I mean, I'm sorry, not the Avengers, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Sorry.
Right.
So, and then... last summer, during the original Sin event, it was revealed that how she's tying in is she's actually the daughter of Odin. So
right.
And now she's, you know, still the Guardians, doing her own thing, and she's got her own series written by Kieran Gillen. And we're about five or six issues in, something like that. One, it's very pretty. It really is a well done piece of art.
It looks pretty.
It's cool. And I'm glad they gave her a new costume a couple of issues back, you know. Nothing that was wrong with it, but it was just a little – it wasn't really there, you know.
Yeah.
So –
it's not much to judge, really.
Right. But, you know, it really is reminiscent of Gillen's Journey into Mystery stuff, which is great. The very kind of high fantasy, mystical, magic type stuff, you know.
Nice.
Gets to play with that. And – it also maintains a sense of humor. Like this one, she's with the Guardians, and they're playing poker. That's how it starts off. So, it's well done. And he captures the characters well. You know, I mean, with the whole Secret Wars thing, I don't know how long the series is going to be around for, but for now, it's quite fun, you know. And I like, again, the kind of whole high magic stuff that he's bringing into this world of the Guardians, you know, so...
Which I think is a cool element to introduce into that very hard sci-fi science fiction world, you know, because we had the whole symbiote planet storyline recently, and so it's a cool angle to bring it into, and yeah, I totally want to check that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, like you know, we're all familiar with the whole nine realms, so the idea is that there is a tenth realm that was sealed off, called Heaven, which is you know, populated by angels and Valkyries, but they're not necessarily. Nice, angels. They're more pragmatic, but yeah.
Right.
But Angela, it's a fun character, and I really enjoy the book so far. So if you're a fan of his old Journey to Mystery, some more of that line, or just kind of like the Asgardian stuff in general, you know. So
which is always fun for speeches in Old English. I think.
Oh, it's great. So
yeah, absolutely.
Also, this week we have a great week for Jeff Lemire. He's got two books out, the all-new Hawkeye and then Descender. Hawkeye, I wasn't sure about because I was a big fan of, you know, Fractions run on it, you know.
Yeah, I love Fraction stuff on Hawkeye.
Even
sure.
though it never would come out on time. I mean, yeah. we're still waiting on the last issue of that. So.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It kind of goes between two points in Clint's life, that with him and his brother when they were young, and him and Kate in kind of modern times, so which... You have to keep Kate in the book. You have to. Her and Clint just play off each other so well.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to be very disappointed if they left her out. But, you know, it's Clint Barton doing what he does best, kind of running around, you know, being the good guy and getting shat on for it. So.
he has cornered the market on that, I think. Yeah.
I know, him and Spidey, man, the two of them, I mean.
Oh, yeah, man. Jeez.
But, you know, Hawkeye's great, and then Descender. New book from Image. Art by Dustin Nguyen, I believe, the guy who did Little Gotham, about a little boy, a robot boy, and his robot dog wake up, and all the humans are gone from a spaceship, and he's trying to figure out what happened to the humans. So,
yeah, and I was just looking at this before because we talked about it briefly before we started the podcast, and I was looking at it, and it looks really, really, because I just love those kind of stories with robots and trying to understand humanity, and I think it's a really, mm-hmm. I think I think that looks really cool.
Yeah, I mean, if someone can, you know, I think Lemire's the right person to write, you know, because after reading Trillium, I definitely think he's the right person to write this kind of high sci-fi story, but with about, you know, identity of species and all that, so... again, only one issue end, but I'm really excited to see where this goes. It's one of those Image books that's been getting a lot of hype, so, you know, I think this will take off and people will latch on to it and be a really good sci-fi epic. So,
For sure.
So how about you? With a couple ones you want to mention, Jason?
I just want to mention the Batman and Robin run because because it's just so weird to bring. I mean, we all kind of knew that they were gonna bring Damian back, but not with superpowers.
No.
Like what?
It's
just odd. Yeah.
Wait, so okay, I kind of stopped after they did the whole Requiem. So he's back now with powers.
He's back now with superpowers, and so the whole dynamic now is going to be, how does Batman deal with a sidekick that has superpowers? And of course, my first thing is, well, he already has that. His name is Superman. But you know, that's all for all you Batman fans out there. I know you appreciated that. So yeah, he's got superpowers. I totally came into the middle of it, and I was like – because I was just totally like, what the hell is this? Because especially the cover now, and if you guys look it up and see the cover, it's totally Robin in the Superman pose with the bullets bouncing on his chest. And I'm like, this is not a Batman book. What is this? But yeah, that's out there. So if you guys want to venture into Weirdville in Batman and kind of move away from more traditional fare with the main Scott Snyder series, go check that out. And the other thing I wanted to briefly mention, but I'll kind of glaze over it, is the Star Wars series, because it got a lot of hype because Marvel got the rights back from Dark Horse, obviously. But we talked about this before, and it's kind of meh.
Yeah. I know. I was a big fan of essentially Brian Wood's last run on Dark Horse, I don't know. I
mean, Dark Horse had a lot of great Star Wars series.
Really did.
The Old Republic series, the Knights of the Knights of the Old Republic series, but the light at the end of the tunnel is the excellent Darth Vader series.
Oh, again by Kieran Gillen.
Fanboy. Which is just not really. Is this is turning the Kieran Gillen show, not so much the Arachnophobia show, but
well, it'll be just But no, Darth Vader is. I like about the Vader series. It's between episode 1 and 2 – or episode 1 and 2, sorry, 4 and 5. Sorry, movie 1 and 2, where he is not exactly in the Emperor's good graces. He just lost the Death Star, which was a big oops. So he has to regain some favor.
Yeah.
And he slaughters a lot of people.
Yeah. it's hardcore. It's hardcore. And you got to think that – and that's always something that, you know, when I sit around and talk with other Star Wars nerds, I'm like, man, he must have got really reamed for losing the Death Star.
I know.
That's not like losing a memo or something. That's an entire space station, you know?
And just, you know, all the talent officers that were on there. I mean, Grand Moff Tarkin was, a couple of bumps aside, a pretty pretty smart tactician, you know, a couple blunders, you know.
Yeah. A little miscalculations, that whole exhaust port thing, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a great book. And I totally just – honestly, if you want to pick up one of the new Star Wars books – and I know there's a new Leia book coming out by Mark Waid, which I don't know how I feel about that. But
it's art by Dodson, though, so I've got –
you've got to at least check it out. It's got a really cool cover.
I love the Dodsons. I really do.
Yeah, so. Yes. But if you really want to jump into one of the new Marvel – Star Wars book. Start with Vader. Don't even go for the main one. It's the main one's so silly.
Yeah.
I just read the first issue and I was like, this is silly.
Yeah.
But if you go to Vader, it's
just Vader being a badass, which is great.
You can't go wrong with that.
Like, right, this is why we love Vader as a villain. That's right.
Absolutely, right. So. Go for that.
And then the last one I do want to mention is Grayson came out this week. It's kind of the end of the first arc. Those who've been following my post of it during Forever Evil, I was very skeptical of this, but Tim Seeley has done a wonderful job. I mean, I met him a few months ago at a little Comic-Con by my house. It's a fun read. I mean, he's not Nightwing anymore, but he's still definitely Dick Grayson. And this issue ties up the first arc, you know, and it answers some questions, but asks a lot more, you know, about the spiral and the company's in. So I was like, but it's fun, great fight scene, and he nails the characterization of Dick Grayson. I mean,
I you know, it's and I know we had talked about this before when it launched, and I went and I picked up the first issue, and I was like, I don't know, it's got this crazy pink cover. So, I don't know where this is gonna go, but it was really good.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you know, the cover with him with the gun on it, you know, I was like, oh,
it looks so cheesy, but yeah.
But they threw in the Midnighter, which is great.
Oh, yeah. God, so good.
I mean, there's a line there. Like, I can't see his face, but I recognize that ass anywhere. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, compared to the rest of DCU, like, it's still pretty lighthearted. There's a great banter between him and Helena. I mean, you know, as a big Nightwing fan, I couldn't ask for more. I mean, this is great, you know.
Yeah, he's arguably one of my favorite DC characters, if not, you know, right up there with Batman.
Yeah.
And it just turns out to be such a cool spy, you know, story.
Yeah.
And with that trademark Dick Grayson, which is, like you said, the characterization is totally nailed in that book.
Oh, yeah. And he's still got the acrobatics. The artwork still looks great, showing him do all his flips and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're on the fence, it's not my fan, go pick it up. It's one of the biggest skeptics, you know. It's a great book. It really is. So
totally great book.
So now, Arachnophobia.
Yes.
Jason, you are one of the biggest Spider-Man fans I know. So.
I have a borderline obsession with Spider-Man since year six of my life. So
nice. So shall we start with a Spider-Verse?
Yes. Yeah. Let's start with Spider-Verse because I got caught up with Spider-Verse, and I know where they re-released the epilogue, which I haven't looked at yet.
It's good. I read it. You know, I'm being a fan of Spider-Man, but, you know, I really didn't get into comics until after college, so I had a job, you know, money, you know.
Yeah,
so it's like,
because comics will take that from you.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly. Yeah.
So I love Spider-Man, but I couldn't get in, you know, I couldn't find where to, you know. So, but like, hey, this, you know, I like alternates, so, you know, let's pick up the Spider-Verse thing. And I loved it. I loved the event. It was, you know, after a lot of, like, letdowns, like, you know, Original Sin wasn't so great, and, you know, you know, Axis, you know, but this one was just, it was so much fun. I mean, dark, too, you know, but I just love seeing the interactions between all the different ones, you know.
I think what the best thing about it is because as Marvel's flagship character and kind of their de facto mascot, they do a lot of monkeying around with Spider-Man and come up with some really awful storylines in the past, some really awful events. But what the thing is that feels great about Spider-Verse, it feels like total fan service.
Oh, it totally is.
not this whole brand new day, one more day kind of what the hell kind of stuff, or you know, maximum clonage kind of what the hell. None of that. It's like total fan service.
You like Spider-Man? Here's a thousand of them.
Yeah, look, here's every Spider-Man you like. Hey, look, here's the one still wearing the Iron Spider, and look, here's the one from, you know, all the other ones. Here's Mayday Parker.
Here's Kane, you know?
Yeah, here's Kane.
I love Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, Mayday, oh my gosh. I'm a big fan of her Spider-Girl run. That was, you know.
Oh, God. So the good stuff. So it's total fan service. And, yeah, definitely dark. I mean, the Inheritors, these kind of like dimensional vampires going around killing other versions of Spider-Man throughout the multiverse, so to speak. It's dark stuff, you know. But
mm-hmm. And there's, especially early on, there's a lot of totems that get taken. I mean, especially early on. But
a lot of dead bodies. A lot of dead Spider-Men in those.
A lot of, I really like that, you know, like the characters they highlighted, you know, there's a lot, you know, a couple twists towards the end, I like how they did the Edge of Spider-Verse before, and where they introduced some of the main ones, like, my personal favorite of that, apart from the obvious one, I liked the anime manga one, Spider.
Yes.
And I loved how they threw in references to, like, Ghost in the Shell and Akira and Eva in there, like, in the schoolroom.
I know.
So, I mean, and seeing her, like, Spider-Ham in action, it was so cool.
Oh, man. And that's the kind of stuff that, like, I'm talking about. That whole series is full of these wow moments where you get to see all these different versions of Spider-Man just kind of swinging around, you know, and interacting with each other. And you even get Superior Spider-Man back in there, which we've talked about before. Big fan of that
Superior's
whole storyline. It's just awesome.
Yeah,
it
was really cool because you have Peter's team, but then you have, you know, Otto's team, and then they kind of meet together like, well, I don't like you because you are me, but, you know, we have to be together because, you know, we're all going to die if we don't. Well, crap.
It's just great to see those kinds of all those different Spider-Man kind of butting heads and then working together and then and one of my favorite things about the character all the different iterations of the character. Well, not all the iterations because Otto was kind of a, you know,
anomaly.
Of a douchebag, but you know, just that trademark Parker wit. And then you've got like 20 of them like, in the same room. It's like overload. It's awesome.
Yes. So. Then also one of the things I liked about it was Silk. I really, you know, on the last episode, you know, I went to long praise for the Silk series that started, but I mean, I really like what they did with her. I mean, she was a fun, again, almost like a female Peter Parker, with the same kind of dry wit, you know.
Yeah. And what I liked about that was about the whole introduction of that character was it wasn't a fundamental rewriting of the mythos, because so many times they like I said, they monkey around with Spider-Man so much, but it wasn't like a fundamental rewriting of the mythos. It was this is a very possible, plausible thing that happened, that somebody else got bit by that radioactive spider, and then they just made her this awesome character. This very, very much, like you said, a nice answer to Peter Parker, you know?
It was kind of like they went back to the moment, they shifted the camera a little bit to the side and said, oh yeah, this is going on in the background, this also happened, you know?
Yeah, and it was totally plausible. It was like, because there's so many times not just in Spider-Man and in other comics, they'll just introduce these things and say, yeah, by the way, this also happened, and
right.
be like, no. But the Silk thing, you know, totally works for
it
me.
Could happen, really yeah. And why haven't we seen her? Oh yeah, because she was in a bunker for 10, 15 years, you know?
Yeah,
so
I buy it. Yeah, logic.
Exactly. You know, and you know, because I went to high praise of her miniseries, you know, starting out because, you know, I was figuring out who she is, and you know, it's also kind of somber because she's trying to find her parents, but she doesn't have too many leads, you know, so it's kind of like, aw, you know.
And so. I do like that dramatic, you know, that crux of the character to keep her motivated, and it's going to make for some interesting. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's been really good.
Yeah.
She was also the only good thing about the Spider-Woman series that we won't talk about. So,
No, I mean, I'm really disappointed. I'm really disappointed in Hopeless because the guy who wrote Dennis Hopeless, I was a pretty big fan of because he wrote Avengers Arena, Cable and X-Force, and Avengers Undercover. You know,
yeah.
And those are great, but Spider-Woman, not so great.
Yeah, it's but we'll just not even get into that.
So now, shall we go into the, as promised, the other breakout star of Spider-Verse?
Oh, God, yes.
Who saw this coming? Who saw this coming, that she would be this big? And we, of course, talking about Spider-Gwen, Gwen Stacy.
What a stroke of genius that idea is.
It's so simple, but it works so well.
It's a stroke of genius. It's just a total stroke of genius.
You know? I mean, that issue, saying that you should go on eBay for just crazy amounts, you know, and it's like, it's so much fun. And, you know, I love all the different twists. They're taking, you know, she got bit instead of Peter. Then Peter became, you know, the reptile, you know.
Yeah. He became the lizard, and he's also kind of the damsel in distress in the same
right.
way as well, which is such a wonderful twist. I love it.
I know. I mean, there are all these Peters, you know, posters on the comic, you know, remember Peter, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I love the artwork, and it kind of has this almost this like punk rock feel to it, you know?
It totally does, and she has the whole – her band, the Mary Janes.
Mary Janes, which, again, another brilliant stroke, you know?
Like, I know.
Like, you know, I mean, it kind of feels like, you know, who put this together? You know, just all the right elements and, like, hey, we love this. Oh, hey, we need to make this a series. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It for that fan service.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean –
yeah, I love it.
You know, the artwork's great, the characterization. You know, she's such a fun, but still with that classic twisted, you know, Parker. You know, okay, I'm gotta be this hero, but also trying to maintain someone's of a life. You know, mm-hmm. You know, the first issue is a big dynamic of her and the band. You know, so yeah. Trying to balance that out.
Which is cool because that's like you said, it's that whole Parker thing. I'm like, I got to balance my normal life, even though my normal life is I'm kind of like a punk rocker and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's still that classic Spider-Man kind of conflict.
Real quick aside, punk rock Spider-Man from Spider-Verse, how awesome!
Yeah. Oh yes.
I mean,
with the spikes and everything.
Yes. Yeah, and that little mini in the Spider-Verse book, that was so great.
Yeah. Love it.
But I think back to Gwen. I mean, yeah. I mean, and I like how they didn't maintain intact how her dad still is the police chief, which has the whole dynamic. And he knows. And in the first issue, you know, he knows who she is. So,
which it kind of reminds me of Barbara Gordon and Commissioner Gordon, and that's kind of mm-hmm. dynamic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I liked, which I appreciate it because I'm mm-hmm. an equally. Almost equally bat fanatic, so.
I like birds, so. I like Gail Simone is more accurate, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, birds yeah, so Spider-Gwen, you know, this mega head that is kind of, you know, a series that just started, you know, week after Silk, and she's really back in her world after being in Spider-Verse and just trying to, you know, figure out how to do that. And I think it's also more of, you know, Marvel and his fans figuring out who is she. I mean, you know. She had her initial big hit. So, okay, now that, you know, fans want her, okay, figure out, you know, who this character is, who she's going to be, you know.
Yeah, let's elaborate. Let's expand on this. Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's expand on this brilliant idea.
Right.
And I'm all for it. Let's go.
And
take
either,
me on that trip.
Yeah, they're using other Marvel characters, like, you know, the Punisher is a cop, you know. I think Ben Grimm was in there, I think, in the first, you know.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so it almost feels like the M2 a little bit with Spider-Girl, you know. How that series kind of was a fan favorite and kind of spun off into, you know, 100-plus issues.
So, oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I have high hopes for Spider-Gwen, you know, and hopefully she'll...
I do, too.
You know? I kind of feel like, personally, like comics are kind of become a little too dark and dire, and you kind of, you know, beg for their britches a little bit. You know, like they try to do too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the events, you know? Excuse me. So, you guys have heard me use the word the fun a lot. My favorite books, like, you know, Grayson and Gwen. But, you know, but really is, you know, like, they don't take things too seriously, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, so pretty self-aware that, you know, yeah, what we're doing is pretty weird, you know? But it's, you know...
It harkens back to that kind of Silver Age mentality, which has always been my favorite era of comics, you know?
Right, and this probably has to do with why I prefer the JSA over the JLA, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I'm all for the big epic when it's done right, but, you know, or the, like, you know, I love Death of the Family. But for my day-to-day reads, you know, I kind of just want to see, you know, Dick Grayson going off, being acrobatic, looking good, and just being crap out of people. Or, you know, Spider-Gwen swinging through the city and playing in the punk rock, you know? I mean...
yeah.
Good characterization above all for me, you know? I mean... You know, again, in any medium for me, the characters are key, you know? I mean, you can have, you know, this most epic story... like The Hobbit, but if the characters aren't, you know, fleshed out enough, you won't get me, you know. So,
which is why I think a lot of these big epics, you know, and we're going off a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's why a lot of these big epics don't really pick up, because mm-hmm. lack of characterization, lack of heart, I think is what mm-hmm. we're driving at.
Right. But yeah, I mean, right now, you know, Spider-Man, things look great for the whole kind of spider corner of the Marvel. I mean, with the whole mm-hmm. Secret Wars, you know, they're going off into, you know, a Spider-Verse kind of ongoing with, mm-hmm. I think it's going to focus on Mayday, Spider-Ham, the first Spider-Girl, I forget what her name was, the black costume.
Arachne? Arachne?
Not her, before her, you know, the older.
I'm totally blanking on it. Yeah.
Sorry. But her, and then Captain Britain Spider-Man. So.
Captain Britain Spider-Man,
yeah. Because they revealed that those two, they kind of stayed back in the with the Weaver, so.
Right.
Because Britain's homeworld was destroyed by an incursion, which ties it into Secret Wars, so.
Totally.
So. That's... You know, that between that, you know, I've got Silk ongoing with Fantastic Spider-Gwen, and, you know, Slott's still doing the Amazing Spider-Man run, you know, which is back Peter, mm-hmm. back, you know, in charge of his company, trying to figure out what's going on. So, I mean, because it was only about, like, five or six issues. It was four issues, and then Original Sin, and the Spider-Verse, so Peter hasn't really been back for too long.
And it's great if you – and there's a trade out now for those first few issues when he gets, you know, regains his body. And it's hilarious.
Oh, it's great.
It's hysterical because he comes back and it's like, wait a minute. I have my own company and I have a degree in cybernetics. I don't know anything about cybernetics.
I guess I do. Hey, you and me are making out now. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's hilarious. It really, yeah. Pick up the trade. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But.
And then Silk comes for you know, with the Original Sin, which is great, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, right now, I think, honestly, as far as, you know, corner of the Marvelverse, Spider-Man's, the Spider-Corner is looking at one of the brightest by far. Right now.
It's a great time to be a Spider-Man fan, or a Spider fan, if you will.
Yeah. So, and like, I also like with these, you know, new series, it makes it easy to jump on to. Like, you know, like I was saying, you know, I love the character, but I couldn't, you know, find a good latching on point besides, you know, then Superior and then Spider-Verse, you know, great starting points for, you know, someone who loves the character but wasn't sure where to start reading. So.
It is a good jumping on point, especially like we were saying, the Slott stuff where Peter's getting back to his life. It's kind of a fresh start for him too,
right?
You know, it's also a good jumping on point too if you're a Spider-Man fan, and just all the other things happening even outside the comic books concerning Spider-Man. It's such a great time to be a Spider-Man fan.
Oh yeah, like yeah. So, movies. So Spider-Man is going to be with Marvel now. Is that the rumor we keep hearing?
Yeah, it's official now. It was rumored for a long time when that right. whole Sony leak happened, and there was discussions in those emails about it happening. And now, you know, Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel Studios, you know, they're gonna totally engineer a new trilogy, a new series of Spider-Man films, and Spidey's going to make his first appearance in the next Captain America movie, which is based on the Civil War storyline.
Which is, you know, makes sense for a place for him to start out, you know, so.
Yeah. And not only that, but I mean, and some of the stuff I'm saying is still rumor and conjecture, but mm-hmm. but now they're saying that they got Drew Goddard to be the director who directed a really great horror film, kind of a mocking horror film called Cabin in the Woods.
Whedon.
Whedon, because Drew Goddard comes from that, you know, from Buffy, working with Whedon on Buffy,
right?
And he got to do Cabin in the Woods, which is a great movie.
It really is.
It's not even what you think it is. So the rumor is that he's attached to it now, and the other rumor is that. Which is not really a rumor. It's kind of a foregone conclusion that the first new Spider-Man movie will not be an origin, because really, how many times can we kill Uncle Ben? Really? I mean, give him a break.
Yeah. That said, I did love the first Amazing Spider-Man. I did love that. So
I did too.
So, but yeah, we don't really need an origin. You know, I mean, another rumor I heard. I'm 99% true. It's not true, but I would love it that instead of being Peter, it's Miles. With Donald Glover playing him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a He has such a huge following. So many people want to see because – he did actually do the voice of Miles on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Right.
So yeah. which even added even more fuel to that discussion. Mm-hmm. And it would be awesome, obviously.
Yeah, I doubt it would happen, but that would be really cool, though. I mean, yeah. I haven't read a lot of Miles, but what I've seen I've really liked, so.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had this discussion with another friend of mine. I wouldn't be really against it if they did Miles, but I think that Marvel's in a position now where they're like, we finally got our character back. It's going to be Peter.
Okay? Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and it's a question of who, which – have they said that it won't be Andrew Garfield?
They have said it won't be Andrew Garfield because they're going to start it over in a high school-aged Peter Parker. I don't know if it has anything directly to do with this, but I know that Andrew Garfield was very vocal about how he was unhappy with Amazing Spider-Man 2, which wasn't really.
Right.
So. But yeah, they're totally going to – they've more or less said, you know, we want to start fresh, with a new version of Spider-Man, which says to me, not Andrew Garfield. Right. So.
Which is kind of a bummer because I thought, you know, 2 was – like. I don't blame him for 2. I think the writers and all that. I mean, I really liked him as the character, you know. So
I did too. I think he did a really great take on it. I think as far as his portrayal of Spider-Man, it was more in line with how I envisioned the character and mm-hmm. my comic book vision of the character.
Right.
All the quipping I don't know if I was totally sold on his version of Peter Parker being, cause I thought he was a little too cool to be Peter Parker. Cause the whole thing about Peter Parker is he's supposed to be kind of a major dork. And then that's his Clark Kent, you know? And,
yeah.
I totally dug his interpretation of the character.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of felt like, Tom McGuire was a little too, you know, dorky a little bit, you know.
Whereas, yeah, he was too far in the other direction, right?
Right. I see what you mean with Garfield being a little too cool, but for me, he felt more comfortable in the role, a little more natural, you know, in that role of Peter, you know.
Authentic. Yeah.
I mean, he definitely was, you know, cool, you know, but he felt relaxed, you know, as opposed to trying to, you know, play up something. But
I know, and somebody had said to people, "Well, that's how nerds are today. They're skaters and they're outsiders." I said, no, nerds are still nerds.
Nerds are still nerds.
All right. That hasn't changed, please.
No. So. All right. So let's – other movie news. Age of Ultron trailer.
The new trailer dropped. We finally got our first glimpse of Vision. What? Amazing.
Yeah.
For the all 2 seconds of it.
Right. Yeah. But still, you know, you got those screen caps like, hey – That's Vision. That's right.
Oh, you know, there's all sorts of GIFs and screen caps all over the internet. Like, look! It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about that movie. I from all I've heard, I know this is Joss Whedon's last Avengers movie. He said he's not going to mm-hmm. – because he said it's going to be too far away from anything. And, of course, I'm paraphrasing. Please, internet, don't tell me this is exactly what he said. I know it's not, but he did say that by the time it gets to the third Avengers movie, it'll be so far away from being anything he created himself that, you know, and it's so much work to put into it, and I understand that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can imagine the bar, you know, the bar that he continually sets for himself with each subsequent project, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Avengers was, one of the highest grossing superhero movies and one of the most critically acclaimed movies. Mm-hmm. So to try and have to top your previous, you know, magnificent work is like, oh, crap. You know, and to keep doing that, you know.
Yeah, and I can imagine that Age of Ultron was a major strain to do that. But I'm so glad that it's Ultron because that was a character that I said next to Loki that you got to do Ultron. That's the other Avengers, like, you know, mm-hmm. nemesis, the main nemesis in my mind anyways.
Right.
So yeah, I'm very excited about it. Very.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of trying to stay in the dark a little bit because I don't want, you know, like for the first one, I followed it so closely and I kind of, you know, burned out myself a little bit by the time it came out. You know, like I knew all this stuff, but, you know, I'm just going to step mm-hmm. back, you know. Trying to go into the most, like with Guardians, I went to with a, both the most, mostly a blind eye, you know. And I was in heaven for that whole movie. So,
which is a great way to go into it, because I did the same thing with Guardians, and what a pleasant surprise that movie is in so many ways.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, obviously I read it most days, so you know I can't avoid everything, but you know. Mm. But yeah, I am excited for it. I'm very looking much forward to it. So
yeah, I think it's going to change a lot in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So the stakes are raised higher.
Oh yeah.
And I just feel like, knowing that the next Captain America movie is going to be Civil War, there's right. definitely going to be the seeds going to be planted there, I think.
So. Oh, definitely have to, you know. Yeah. Marvel's very good at planting seeds with the MCU. They're very good at that, so.
Yeah, which I feel is why Sony kind of caved and said, okay, we can share Spider-Man, because they just know they've got the winning formula down.
They really do. I mean,
even the movies that are kind of like that I don't care as much about, they're still decent. Even now, nothing against Thor, but those Thor movies are pretty good, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the character.
Oh yeah. I mean, I wasn't a huge Thor fan, but man, like, just seeing Asgard, and I would say the last fight in this Thor 2, where they're fighting through the different dimensions. My gosh, that's one of my favorite scenes in the whole series.
Totally. Yeah, so they've got the winning formula down. So Sony, and they did drop the ball with Amazing Spider-Man 2, because they just crammed too much into it and trying to do too much with it, and they did drop the ball.
And we've seen that happen before with the X-Men 3 and Spider-Man 3. You know, they just try to do too much. You know.
Yeah. So they, it's going to work to their benefit, and the whole deal is that Sony retains ultimate creative control, even though Marvel's going to be the ones developing the movies for them. But I think I don't think Sony, even though it says that, I don't think Sony's ever like, no, we're not going to do that. Marvel's like, yeah. Remember the last one, the last movie you made? Okay, you're going to listen to us now.
So. Damn it, you always bring that up, Marvel. Damn it.
Exactly. So
it was one time.
Just one time. Yeah. But yeah, and so the other thing I think we're going to talk about is the Marvel's also invading Netflix. They got aka Jessica Jones and the Daredevil series coming out now, and
Luke Cage. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm excited. I mean, I kind of always feel that, you know, Daredevil gets a bad rap. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame Ben Affleck or whatever. He just, you know, it was a lackluster movie. All right, you know. But the character has had so many great moments, so many great stories, you know. So.
Exactly. It's just exactly what you're saying. I think that he's always been one of my favorite, as far as the street level kind of heroes in Marvel, always one of my favorites. And he's kind of, in a lot of ways, Marvel's Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie just. It just, yeah, nothing against Ben Affleck. I hope he does great as Batman. He's a great director, this and that. But man, and it's not entirely his fault, really.
No.
The movie has so many problems, really.
Right.
So I'm excited to see this, because, again, it's that whole Marvel with their winning formula. Like, we know how to do this.
Mm-hmm. We're same the pieces. We're introducing new these characters, you know. And honestly, what we've seen so far from it, you know. He looks right. I mean, he looks like Matt Murdock.
yeah. And I love that they're doing the whole year one thing with the black costume and I love it. It's cool stuff, and it's going to be gritty and dark, and because that's where you want to go.
Oh, with that character. Daredevil's a very dark character, especially like the Bendis Malieve run, which was one of the first comics I read. So good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that started with the Kevin Smith. That's why I started reading, because hey, I like Kevin Smith.
His stuff, like Kevin Smith's stuff, was pretty good. A little too wordy, but that's Kevin Smith.
Guardian Angel, but yeah, and then you got into, you know, Bendis and Malieve and David Mack, you know, and Echo. So
yeah, so many great writers and artists have touched that character. It's a name that a lot of people would be turned off who are not into comics, editing the comics, or know that much about the character, to see that Ben Affleck moving off. I'm not going to read that crap.
Right.
But it is a great character. I feel like it's going to be done some justice. And I do like that they're setting up, they're doing the AKA Jessica Jones with Kristen Ritter.
Yeah, now I love Alias. I think Alias might one of my top Bendis books. I mean, my favorite Bendis book has to be Scarlet, which he will never finish, which I'm still bitter about. But, yeah, right after they said, yeah, we're going to make this movie with Jessica Jones, like, okay, well, talking about who she is. And right around the time, they reprinted the omnibus, so you can go out and get that easily now. It's And I read that in one sitting. It was, you know, it's just a great story. For those of you who don't know Jessica Jones is, and neither did the reader, because if I recall, Alias was her first thing she was ever in, you know. And
it was,
And at the start of the series, she was a superhero with the Avengers. Something traumatic happened, and now she's just kind of this... Like most Bendis characters, you know, are almost Rucka-like. You know, she's a investigator. You know, smokes, drinks, screws. You know, it's kind of self-destructive. You know, barely getting by. You know, ex superhero. You know, you know. I mean, it really almost feels like a Rucka character. You know, which is
it does.
Is nothing but praise for Bendis' work. You know,
because
he had a similar character called Jinx before. You know. Which I love Bendis' noir stuff, but I fell in love with Jessica Jones. She was just such a cool character, you know, almost like someone ordinary in this weird world with this really tragic backstory. So
it is really good stuff. And you picked out the right, word there. It's very noir. It's very noir. And I think that's kind of, for the Netflix series, and I know there's going to be a subsequently a Luke Cage series and
Defenders,
yeah.
And I think it's a good way of a good progression because you start with Daredevil, the one the character people kind of know about, and then you go into Jessica Jones, who worked for Daredevil for Matt Murdock for a while,
yeah.
And then Jessica Jones, who marries Luke Cage, so you get Luke Cage in there, then whose partner is Iron Fist, so it's a nice progression, So,
it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because Marvel does have that winning formula, but they've been sticking kind of to more family-friendly fare. Even though some of the movies do go in a little bit of a dark.
Can I just say that I am fucking terrified to see David Tennant as the Purple Man? I am absolutely pants crapping terrified.
Yeah, because the Tenth Doctor is a good actor, man. So. And if you haven't, I know it's totally not comic related, but if you haven't seen Broadchurch, please go watch it.
Yeah.
The man is brilliant, okay? But, he's a brilliant actor, and he will make a scary freaking Purple Man, all right?
Purple Man, he is – go read the series, but he is terrifying. Like, he is terrifying, and because this was a Max series, Alias was a – wasn't part of the regular – it was under the Gritty imprint, so he got away with a lot of – R-rated stuff. He's terrifying.
That's a scary character, man. Prepare yourselves, people.
Yeah. I mean, that last issue is one of the most intense comics I've read.
Totally is. That's one of those things that just follows you after you put it down. You're like,
So, now, Kristen, she was in Breaking Bad, was she?
She, I believe so.
She also had a
sitcom, that hilarious sitcom, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, with James Vanderbeek playing himself. So she's I think she'll be good for it.
Okay, yeah, I know nothing about her, but, again, I just hope she does the character justice, which.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people are going to be going into it going, I don't know anything about, but I think that's kind of the right person to pick for it. I think if you went with somebody who is a much bigger name, then all you see is the name and you don't see the character.
You don't see Jessica, right. So. Right. But yeah, so if you haven't, go pick up the Alias Omnibus. I promise you won't be disappointed. So, and if you're looking to start, if someone's looking for to start with Daredevil, where would you say to start with? Would you say Bendis or like the Wade, or where would you say?
I would even go as far back to talk to go to the Frank Miller stuff.
Frank Miller,
I would go back to that, the Elektra stuff and the Bullseye stuff, and
right.
I would even go back that far because that is really some really great stuff, and I know that Miller doesn't always get the greatest rap because of the kind of some of the stuff he writes, the Sin City stuff. But
I love Sin City. It is what it is, but I love it. So.
I do too. I'm not ashamed to say that. But I would go as far back to the Miller stuff and start there. But yeah, the Bendis stuff is and there's. Yeah, I would go back as far back as Miller because you really have to go and see that stuff. You really have to get the Elektra stuff
and the core of what the character is.
It really is. So.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. You know, this has been kind of the arachnophobia issue. We kind of went on a lot of tangents, but, you know, yeah, till next time. I think we're going to try and go to a bi-weekly, so we're all sharing with the main Geek Cave podcast ones. That also will go some time to read more comics. So
more stuff to talk about. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, we'll see, you know, see you in 2 weeks and see what comes out between now and then with news, you know. Until then, read more comics.